Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
Jesus in my testimony. Testimony, big fancy word, just means your story, basically. It is your account of what you have seen. And in the Christian context, what your testimony should be is the answer to this question: why do you believe in Jesus? Jesus in my testimony is kind of straightforward. The first draft of this sermon went, if Jesus isn't in your testimony, you have not told your testimony right. Mic drop, walk away. It's that simple. Jesus should be in your testimony if your testimony is about Jesus. So, I'm going to start by telling one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard. This man is a guy called Ian McCormack. He's fairly famous in Christian circles as the Jellyfish Man. And you can probably guess where this story's going. And I've heard him tell this, and it's an incredible tale. So, he used to do a lot of surfing when he was younger, and he was out in Asia, and went into the water and got stung 5 times by a box jellyfish, which is one of the most deadly creatures known to man. By the time the ambulance arrived at the beach, he was completely paralyzed. By the time he made it to the hospital, his vital organs were shutting down, and he was declared dead at that hospital. But this is where the story gets really incredible. Because 20 minutes after he was declared dead, his eyes opened and he began to move again. And he recovered fully, and he has since told what he experienced while he was dying. And in the ambulance, he had a vision of the one Christian person he knew, which was his mother, desperately praying for him. Because God had told her that if she didn't pray, he was going to die. As he was dying in that hospital in Asia, he found himself in a place of darkness and pain, and voices telling him that he belonged there and that he was in hell. Oh, I missed a bit. Important bit. In that ambulance, after he saw this vision of his mother praying for him, he cried out to Jesus in the silence of his mind to be saved. That's important. Because it explains why, from hell, he found himself in a tunnel moving towards a place of light. And at the end of that light was a voice asking whether he wanted to go forward or turn back. And looking behind him, he could see his body on a table, and he felt that there was nothing for him in that life. But the light wouldn't let him go past, and he fought against it and said, "Why? There is nothing for me. There is no one who loves me." And then he turned back and saw his mother still praying for him, and knew that there was someone who loved him. He then turned and went back and woke up to a doctor poking his toes with a scalpel to see if there was any nervous reaction, and then terrified the doctor by looking him in the eyes. It's an incredible testimony of God's love, grace and power, and I don't tell it nearly as well as he does, because he lived it and I'm a guy who read his story off the internet and summarized it a bit. And that's the point I want to make. I can't tell Ian McCormack's story. The story I can tell is my story. So let me tell you some of my story. This was about 10 years ago at a Christian conference in Somerset. I was just about to go to uni. I was suffering with severe mental health issues. I'd attempted suicide several times at this point in my life. And I was working on one of the kids' teams because I was incredible. I was blessed every time I did it. And after one of the kit meetings, there was a team briefing, and I just felt that I needed prayer. So I went to one of the leadership and asked if we could, they would pray with me. So we sat down in a corner of this cow shed in Somerset, and I basically unloaded my entire life story, the suicide attempts, the fact that I had been in the process of forcing myself into a multiple personality disorder in order to keep myself sane, because I was struggling that much with dealing with people. So I'd split my mind into fragments to go, so I'd have a social fragment and a fragment that knew what a joke was, and a bit of me that was my rage. And I did that, compartmentalized and separated my mind up, because I couldn't deal with being a person. And on that night, my mind was ripped to pieces and put back together as something new. So I told the people this, and they started praying, and they started basically evicting all of these fragments of my mind and casting them away from me. And we went through all of the ones that I knew about, and underneath that was a layer of ones that I had made and never known about. And when they were all gone, I was nothing. And this is where it gets really crazy. Because from that place of nothingness, I found myself aware of a huge dark void on one side and a huge wall of white on the other, and beams of light connecting the light to the darkness. And as I looked at this, I gained understanding that what I was witnessing was the active war between heaven and hell. And those beams of light were people who believed bringing heaven to this broken and corrupted earth. And then I was taken to a great hall with many rooms, many doorways, all closed, and white fire appeared before me, and I knew that that was the Spirit of God, and it led me room by room, and in each room was filth and darkness, and it cleared the Spirit went before me into the rooms, and all of the darkness was piled in the middle of this hall. And then the Spirit came, rested upon the top of this heap of my filth, of my sin, and turned into a tree of life, covering all of my darkness. Yeah, my story, much less impressive, but it's still pretty good. Like, it's not I literally died and came back to life level, but you seem to have connected much more with what I was saying, because this is my story. You can see my emotions. I cannot replicate Ian McCormack's emotions as he died and cried out to God in his dying brain. But I can tell you about my experience of God fixing my brain, gluing my life back together. And this is what I really need you to understand today, that your testimony, whatever it is what matters. Because you can hear the greatest testimonies of anyone in this room, but if you try and explain them to a friend, it will have far less impact than if you tell them why you believe. Because the people you know, they don't know me. I'm just some random guy that you go meet on a Sunday to them, but they know you. They have a relationship with you. Your friends who don't believe, your friends who know have never heard of God, they know you. They know your character. They can see you and your face and your emotions when you talk to them. Podcast people, I'm sorry, you don't get to see any of that. You just get to hear me. But it's that personal connection that makes a testimony powerful. Because you know, the people here, you know me. You've been to church with me for years. Some of you work with me. You've been in my house. You've eaten my food. You are part of my family. You know me. So when I tell you this, you connect with me because you know what I am like. I've covered part of why sharing a testimony is important in that it builds, it you can share it with others, but testimony is powerful in the church as well. Testimony, but testimony is also for the encouragement of other believers. It's why we have testimony time on Sundays several times a month, because we want to know what God is doing in our lives. Because when we hear that what God has done in Bola's life, or Vic's life, or Chrissy's life, or Lee's life, or Andy's life, we are all encouraged to know that God can work in our lives. Yeah. Your testimony is the most powerful witness of the Bible's accuracy and truth. Because the Bible, it's a great book. But for most people, it's words on a page. And words on a page are meaningless compared to the emotion and honesty and story of someone who you know and who you trust. And that is why your testimony matters, because you will bring far more people to faith by telling them why you believe than by going, here's a book, read it. Or, this is the theological argument to support the resurrection and the crucifixion. Or here are the historians who have said that Jesus lived. Those are strong evidence, but they're not emotional. They don't connect with people. Your story connects to people. Okay. What is a testimony? It's a true account. It's what you have experienced. It's why you believe in Jesus. This is where we start getting really practical, because I said I wanted you all to actually do some work instead of just listening to me talk. And one of the best pieces of advice I've ever heard about having a testimony is you don't have one testimony. You don't even have one version of each bit of testimony. You have at least three versions of every testimony you have. Because not everyone you meet is going to go, okay, yes, I have 10 minutes to just stand here and listen to you tell your entire life story and the way that God has worked in every aspect of it. Most people, you're lucky if they'll give you 10 seconds to get one sentence out. So you have to be ready. And your testimony, you have to have a version that you can get out in a single sentence, so that when someone goes, oh, so why do you believe in Jesus? You have a sentence that you can put there before they forget what the question was or get distracted by something. You have to have that headline testimony that goes, this is why I believe. So mine is something a lot, usually, I have two, because I've got a lot of faith experiences. So my two sentences are either, because my life in sanity, I have only because of the power and love of Jesus. Or, I have studied science for decades and have seen God do things that I have no ability to explain. They summarize my entire experience, and they invite further questions. Because if someone's going to give you one sentence to explain why you believe, what you want them to then do is ask more questions so that you can tell them the rest of it. Because one sentence does, those sentences, they summarize my experience, but they don't carry the same weight as the testimony I told earlier. So you need to get them to want you to hear the whole thing. And your testimony can be a lot of different things. For most people, their most powerful testimony is the moment that Jesus entered their life, the point where their life changed, where they realized that they were now something new. For others, it's their greatest miracle that they've experienced or witnessed, a healing that's happened to them or someone close to them. For others, it's a vision or a word or a scripture that transformed, that changed them, that hit them. For some, it's the feeling that they had of just the presence of God in their life, that closeness, that thing that cannot be described in merely human terms, but you know is God touching you. And or any of those can be your testimony, as long as that is the truth of your experience. Okay, so I've talked about the first version of your testimony, that one sentence headline, punchy, catchy, doesn't really give details, but definitely invites questions. This is the bit where you turn around into your groups and you have, what does it say, 4 minutes.
4 minutes!
It's one sentence, Julia. You don't need long.
6 minutes.
Yeah, you've got to keep it short. You've got to stay on top of each other. If someone starts rambling, cut them off. Tell them that they need to cut it down. Okay. Wrap up your conversations. Draw. Okay. So, did anyone actually succeed in getting down to a single sentence, or? Okay. Excellent. Good. Those of you who like to ramble, you'll have a chance in just a moment. Because, so, you've got your one sentence that will hook them, that will get, hopefully, get people who truly want to know to actually ask you further questions, and will weed out those who are just going, oh, it's a question to ask, but I'm not actually expecting a real answer because no one actually wants to talk about faith, really. People looking at me like, yeah, I know those conversations. Like, oh, so what did you do? Oh, I went to church. So what did you do? Oh, you know, we prayed, we sang, we did Christian stuff. That's not a good answer to why you went, why you were at church. Have a real answer. They may not want to hear it, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't answer the question they asked. Okay, moving on. So, this is where you need the second sort of testimony. Because you might get an answer, but you might not have time to give your full testimony. If you're waiting at a bus stop, if you're in a queue at the shopping line, if you're just walking down the street with someone, you don't necessarily have the time to give them the whole thing. So you want the highlight reel, the Cliff Notes version, that hits all of the high points of your testimony, that has some of that emotional impact, that has some of that opening yourself up and sharing your experience, but it doesn't take 15 minutes to get through all of the details of, because not everyone has that time available. So this is your sort of 30 to 90 second highlight reel of your testimony. So mine might go, try and work this out. See, this is why you need to be prepared, because you'll find yourself doing something and suddenly going, oh, I wasn't as prepared to answer that question as I thought I was. So, my highlight reel. At times in my life where I have been at the most broken, God has intervened and saved me and restored me. God has taken my mind to pieces and fixed it and put it back together, restored. And in that I have seen the fullness of the power of God and the glory and the life that he brings. I have seen heaven and hell in their vastness, and have seen how heaven overpowers hell. I have seen how God's life triumphs over and eliminates darkness and sin in my life. Should have actually looked at the timer to see how long that was taking me. It has the key points of my testimony. It has enough that people can ask specific questions if they want to, but it's also short enough that if I don't have time, and it's contained enough that if it's someone I don't necessarily want to go into the full emotional depth of why I was suicidal as a teenager or what my mental state looked like, that I don't have to unless they actually want those details. It's a middle ground between, hey, ask me questions about my faith, and this is the fullness of my experience. Okay. Gonna give you, what have we got? 9 minutes in your groups. Plenty. 9 minutes to work on these bulkier stories, these highlight reel ones, which I think a lot of you were kind of doing already, but I'll let that slide. This is the one where you get to go, this isn't the one sentence I give, this is if I had it. Once I've got your attention, this is the start of how I share my experience of God, my reason for believing. Yeah. All right. Wrap it up. As much as I love people sharing their testimony.
Stop it.
For now. So, I've covered the one sentence hook. I've covered the short version to give the main details and to the one that makes the argument for your faith without having to explain everything. Obviously, the one I'm missing is the whole story, which I'm not going to give you any time to work on now because we do actually need to finish the service at some point and that would take forever. So, if you don't have a whole story worked out, work on it. Think about it. As I overheard Vic say, how great it is just to hear the testimonies of other people. Like I said at the beginning, testimony is a powerful tool for sharing your faith with people who don't believe, but it's also an incredible resource in the church for encouraging and developing each other. And the secret thing that the testimony does is it reminds us about our own reasons for believing. Whenever we find ourselves struggling, our testimony should be what we go back to go, right, this is why I believe. I look at all of what God has done for me. The testimony is a reminder to ourselves of what God has done. And that's one of the main reasons you need to be thinking about your testimony regularly, because yes, you need it ready. So if anyone gives you the chance, you can go, oh, let me tell you about why I believe in God. If the people in the church, you need to be ready to go, let me encourage you with this story of how God's worked in my life. But when you're struggling, you need to be able to go, I can remind myself of how good God is to me. Yeah. Do we have time for a couple of people to share their short versions? Or any volunteers to share their 30 to 90 second testimony? Anyone? Come on, you've just been practicing this. You should be all ready to. You've just shared it with your group. Is it?
Oh, I will.
Will you?
Yeah. Someone else say yes, they were going to first.
Tom, I think.
Tom, I'll be after you.
No. If no one wants to, it's fine. All right, go on. Go on then.
I brought up in the church and went to a church camp years and years ago, gave my life then, but then fell away from the church because I thought, not getting the answers what I want. So left God, went in the world. My dad died. I was in such a dark place. And went to London to go on a bit of a weekend with my cousin, who was a born-again Christian. Really strong born-again Christian. And it was like, go to church on Sunday. Went to Hillsong, and that was it. It was an experience where I encountered the Holy Spirit and broke down, sobbed like, uncontrollably, and realised that, you know what? I need to change. And I did.
Thank you.
You're used to this. You get
a warning. Come on, Vic. Vic, you volunteered first. You're up.
Oh, can't push Tom,
If you're going to bring Tom, I'll bully you.
Okay, all right then. So, I'm a waffler, so I don't think I can do it.
Do you want me to set a timer? 90 seconds.
So, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, so I had no Christian background. I got to 19 years old, and I was failing on my degree in a really destructive relationship. And one night I just cried out to God and just said, help me. And then I just heard like an audible voice say, if you don't find me now, you never will. So I said to God, I can't find you. Can you find me? So I woke up the next morning, got to my bus stop. This lady came up to me and said, how about coming to my church on Sunday? And I was like, you're all right. Then I get onto the bus and another lady comes up to me and says, you need to come to my church on Sunday. And I'm like, it's okay. It's a bit of a church hypocrisy, not interested. And then I get to my first lecture and the two girls in front talk about the CU. CU, it's a Christian union. I'm like, wow, in half an hour, three different people have talked about church. And that's the first time in my entire life there's got to be something in this. So 3 months later, I get to go into the church, the Christian Union, and to begin with, I'm like, wow, these people believe in this book. They're a bunch of nutters. Then I go back again and just cried the whole time. And then the third time I went, this man was talking about Jesus, and all of a sudden it was like, boom, everything is about Jesus, and just God revealed Jesus to me. And I just said, have my life, and that was it.
87 seconds.
Thomas.
No. It's fine. Anyone who hasn't shared but feels like at some point they want to, speak to Andy. We have testimony time regularly.
Absolutely.
Get yourselves onto a slot. We'll give you time to share however much you want to share about what God has done or is doing in your life.
Yeah.
Because one really important thing is your testimony hasn't finished yet. Your testimony is a work in progress. I went to Fuel last week and really met with God there. That's adding to my testimony. The experiences today where we have shared powerfully and experienced God, that adds to our testimony. Our testimony isn't, oh, I met God and then everything got better. Our testimony is, I met God and things are still changing.
Nice.
Hold on to that thought.
Yeah.
Let me pray, and then Rob and Sonia are going to lead us in worship. God, thank you that you are an active God, that you are not just the God of a 2,000-year-old book, but you are the God of today, of now. You are the God who changes lives. You are the God who heals. You are the God who saves. You are the God who makes things new and makes new things. Father God, we thank you that you are at work in us and that we can share what you are doing with each other and with others for your glory. Amen.